Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Daniel chapter 5. Most of the pew Bibles, the old ones, it's on page 952. There are a few newer Bibles, though, and it's on a different page. It's 879. So, Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Daniel the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this account of King Belshazzar and the interpretation of the writing on the wall. And Father, we know that you have a message for us this morning as well, and I pray that you would inspire the pastor this morning as he brings us your message. I ask that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and open them and help us to pay attention and to understand what you are trying to teach us this morning. And we thank you again, Lord, for all your blessings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Some years ago, our Canadian government, the Prime Minister and officials were so proud that Canada had been declared the best country in the world. It was a few years ago. And that this was the best place and we had done so well. And they were so happy. We had heard time after time how well we have done as a country. Well, without trying to bring politics in this morning's message, I would like to say that I am happy and privileged to live in Canada, where most of the basic human rights and privileges are respected for now. Even though the government and millions of Canadians have been celebrating or had celebrated and rejoicing our status as a good country, let's not forget that there were many empires in the history of mankind that fell because of pride and because they ignored God. We have many examples: the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and so on. And you have, until recently, the British Empire and our new empire, the American, if you wish, or Canadian or European unions are so proud. But let us not forget, but pride goes before the fall. Let's look at the tragic events in Daniel chapter 5. Israel is in captivity in Babylon, a strong city. Babylon was actually, I was reading a little history, how big these walls were. They were 350 feet high and 87 feet thick. That's very thick, 87 feet. What is it? From here to the end, thick. Boy, that's very big wall to build, and maybe years and years of building. It took many years to build these walls. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, is celebrating their 539 anniversary, if you wish, or whatever anniversary they are celebrating. That was before Christ, 539. But mighty Babylon is about to be judged. The Medes and Persians were already outside the gates. And for a moment, I looked at this picture. There are these huge walls protecting the city. There are those huge brass doors secured enough not to allow anyone to break through the doors and come in. And here you have the King Belshazzar, so happy and so drunk with pride and power. Even though he knows that the enemies have surrounded his city, those huge walls he thought will protect him. He thought that the enemy had no power to overpower him and his city. And while the enemy is outside ready to attack him, he is celebrating and he is getting drunk and he is enjoying his power, not knowing that not only his power will be taken away, not only his country will be taken away, but his life is going to be taken away. And I believe today many of us have great examples of this happening around us. Countries drunk with power, countries drunk with grandeur, countries drunk with strength because they feel they are strong, are enjoying the pleasures of this life, not knowing that God is about to judge them. And there are human beings, and even Christians, who are so proud of their achievements, and they are so proud of their families, and they are so proud of their business achievements, and churches are so proud of having 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 members, well-to-do people are joining their membership, and they are so drunk with that pride and power, but not seeing that God is about to judge those who have turned their backs against Him. And while the enemy is out there about to attack and kill the king is still is enjoying or feeding his fleshly desire. First, let's look at the drunken feast. Belshazzar gave a great banquet, lots of drinking and partying. All his friends are there just having a good time. History tells us that Belshazzar was about 35 years old. And he was a young, powerful king who had the power to judge people, to kill people, or to save people. They were celebrating, but that night Babylon would fall. And many of us, let's not forget that that moment of pleasure may be followed by our fall, by destruction. And moments of pleasure may bring an eternity of pain. Who would have thought it? Babylon was a mighty power, a city of splendor and beautiful homes and great defenses. Belshazzar and his friends feel very safe and secure in their sinful partying. But no one is safe in sin. No one is safe in sin. You may feel safe, you may feel wanted by someone while you are cheating on your wife, on your husband. You may feel safe and secure while you are doing whatever you're doing because no one can see you, but history has told us otherwise, and the news around us tell us that nothing can be kept secret. Governors are falling, and senators are falling, ministers are falling, and Christian leaders are falling because they thought they were safe and secure while they were doing what they were doing, while they were feeding the desires of the flesh. But just like Babylon, just like Belshazzar's kingdom was about to fall, and he did not pay any attention, and he continued his drunken parties. But God dealt with him. God will deal with everyone who ignores him and turns his back to him. Sin is the greatest threat to liberty and security. While countries may be enjoying freedom and security and liberty, and this liberty takes over discipline, and while freedom takes over decency, they don't realize that very soon they will be captive, and very soon their system, their family, they themselves will collapse and will be judged. Sin is the greatest threat to liberty and security. An individual or a nation cannot continue on a course of sin and survive. You may enjoy the first pleasures that sin gives you. You may enjoy the second, the third time, but eventually your body will grow tired and your spirit will die in you, and instead of enjoying the pleasures that once you did in sin, they will become the cancer, the gangrene that will eat you up until your soul dies. The Bible says all that. Now let's look at the dedicated vessels, the goblets, if you wish. Here you have this king and his kingdom and his predecessors that went into Israel and stole all the goblets and all the vessels that were set aside for holy uses only. Drunkenness led to foolish actions. Alcoholism and drug addiction are great problems we face as individuals and as a nation. When our body, which is created by God to be dedicated vessel for Him, is abused and misused, then we are in trouble. We are dedicated vessels, and if these vessels are used for ungodly things, for sin, eventually we will be judged. And again, you're saying, what kind of a message is this morning? You want to give us a guilt conscience or a guilt trip, or are you judging? No, what I'm saying is the writing is on the wall. We can ignore it. We can continue in what we're doing as individuals, but remember what happened to this great king. Belshazzar was not satisfied with the royal vessels of the palace. He wanted to use and desecrate the sacred vessels that were stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. These vessels were set apart for the glory of God. They had been prayed over and dedicated to the Lord. Most of the swear words today, especially in Quebec, are against holy things. Two people are angry, they're fighting, and they swear that they curse the holy things in the church. Something goes wrong, they hurt their finger, they curse God and holy things. So these are the holy vessels that we curse because we have turned our backs to God, and holy things have become things of unnatural use, if you wish. Christ set a new course of it for his followers and the church, the body of true believers, that is, to follow. His desire was and still is to see his church bring glory to God. He asked us all who are washed in his blood and saved to become and remain dedicated vessels. We are set aside, if you wish, washed, purified, cleansed, and ready to serve God as dedicated vessels. He, through the Holy Spirit, brought order in our lives, or rather, He brings order in the lives of the dedicated vessels. But now many things are out of order and control. Our nations are in crisis. Alcoholism, drugs, AIDS, sexual immorality, crime march on, taking more and more victims. Violence is a way of life in entertainment and real life. I was talking with a brother yesterday about the worldly things, and there was a question, can a born again believer watch worldly movies and listen to worldly music? And we were discussing things when we started discussing the music that is available on radio and television and your little whatever you have. It could be even a cell phone that you can record your music on. And we did discuss the wording, and the words are so gross, so dirty, so filthy, so anti-God, so anti-family, so anti-purity, that you can't even repeat them unless you are under the influence of some kind of a spirit. And it's not God's spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. People have no time for God. People actually don't even believe in God anymore, even though they say they are Christians. I talked to so-called Christians from my own country where I was born. And they are Christians. They will die for their faith. For their religion, I should say. But talk to them about God, talk to them about Jesus, talk to them about eternity, talk to them about salvation. They know nothing and they don't want to know anything because that will prevent them from continuing what they're doing. And you know what? There are a lot of churches, a lot of Christians today that they will avoid talking about hell. They will avoid talking about sin. They will avoid talking about whatever that upsets them because that doesn't make them feel good. And you know what? I've used this example hundreds of times and I'll use it again. It's like taking a bottle of strychnine or some kind of poison and changing the label and say, this is mouthwash. Just because it says mouthwash, it doesn't mean that we'll wash your mouth. What it will do, will kill you. And what you name sin does not change the effectiveness and the power and the destructive powers of sin. And this king ignored God. And many today ignore God. Even Christians in churches and outside, I have no desire for holiness and much time for God. Someone was offering free meat in Toronto. Someone, I don't know if you saw it in the news, I just saw a little clip of it. This butcher, not Jonathan Butcher, this butcher in Toronto had a butcher shop, and he won a lottery. I don't know. Does anyone know? 15 million or 14 million? How much? 14 million. And he said, come, free chicken or meat. And you know, the lineup was all around just to get a pound or 2 pounds of chicken. And when it comes to God, well, picking up that chicken is more important than doing everything else. And that's how we are. We are searching to find joy and happiness and pleasure in worldly things that don't give pleasure. And if they give any pleasure, it will be so temporary. You know, what you would rather have? You ask your grandson, your son, your friend, would you rather have... MP3 or a Bible? He's gonna laugh at you. Would you rather have an MP3 or go to Sunday? Come on, give me a break. You know, it's not only the kids. We, the adults, would rather have the pleasure of going to a party than sitting home with our kids, sitting home with someone else, going to church for a Bible study. Would rather go to the party and drink if you wish than go to church. We need a revival to turn from total ruin and judgment. And now let's look at the divine warning. We looked at the goblets or vessels. And now we see the handwriting on the wall. And the divine warning was very loud and clear. So loud and clear that the king was about to faint from fear. The words were, Mene, Mene, Tekel Parsin, or Aparsin. Which means, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the scales and found waiting. You know, this statement gives me the chill. You have been weighed and found less than expected. You have been weighed and you have been found wanting. And you say, well, that's because, God, you gave me a husband that's because you gave me a wife that's because you gave me a pastor that's because I lost my job and I had to do everything possible and anything possible. And God is going to say, I've weighed you. You've been weighed and found guilty. You say, what a cruel God. No, He's a just God. And finally, the word parsin or apasin means your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Actually, emina and a tekel were different ways. Parsin or perez means to divide. So, mene tekel would mean the weights that were weighed. And he was found wanting. King Belshazzar had been weighed and found wanting. That very night, the kingdom would fall and be destroyed. The judgment was final and swift. Belshazzar was slain that night, and his kingdom was given to his enemies. The night of feasting and partying became a night of fear. The night of triumph became a night of terror. The night of pride and good life became a night of death for Belshazzar. There is a point at which sin is judged. There is a point where sin is judged. God may allow you to continue that far. And then there is the cutting off line. All of us must read that writing on the wall. The words, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting, were so powerful and so final. These same words may and will be repeated and directed toward all those who ignore God's warning today. The individual or the church that is found wanting will be judged by Jesus, the one and holy judge. Do you see a writing on your wall? Are you paying attention? The writing is on the wall for us, for the church, for our nation. We must face up to our sins and repent. We must turn back to God while we have time. You and I will face Christ our Lord and Judge. Daniel, who remained a dedicated and pure vessel, was blessed and used by God for His glory. Belshazzar was found wanting and judged by God. All true believers or all true Bible-believing Christians can already see the handwriting on the wall, but blind world leaders continued in their pride and pleasure, not realizing that the Lord will soon judge all who continue in their sinful ways. And that will apply not only to the nations. That applies not only to powerful countries, but applies to powerful churches and weak churches. That applies to powerful Christians and weak Christians. We all are going to stand before the throne of God. You may say, well, you are being harsh, or the church is being harsh, or the Bible is harsh, or God is harsh. You know what I did? I had nothing to do with creation. I did not put these laws in here. I did not write the book. I'm only saying and preaching what the Bible says and what I hope God is directing me to say. It is up to us to listen to the warning, look at the handwriting on the wall, and respond accordingly. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being so kind, so compassionate, but at the same time for being so holy and, Lord, not tolerating sin when we are not ready to admit it and confess it and ask for forgiveness. But also, Lord, you are so loving, so kind, so compassionate that you will forgive any sin and anyone who repents from his or her sins. Any church, any home, any country who will repent like Nineveh and turn to you will be blessed and will prosper spiritually and otherwise. Lord, we ask you please this morning to clear our thoughts and minds and prepare each one of us for this Holy Communion. In your blessed name I pray, amen.